Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Good If It Goes podcast. We are back after missing last week due to, some, let's just say some of our on-air talent was busy. So, we couldn't get it, but hey, we're back, we're refreshed, we're ready to go. Tonight, it's the usuals, myself, Shane, we got Mike.
What up?
We got Prentice.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
And we are welcoming for the first time one of our writers, Forrest Buck.
Hey, Coach Buck! Just address me as Coach Buck, or better yet, the Coach Buck.
Yeah, he likes to be called Coach Buck. Nobody calls him that, but we're gonna go with it. We're gonna go with that anyway.
Hey, people do call me
real
that.
Quick. Buck, why don't you give the people 30 seconds, tell them a little about yourself with your sports background.
All right, I'm Coach Buck. I've coached football at the high school level, D-line, O-line, played in high school, went to Mississippi State University where I was a sports writer, had my own radio show, wrote as a journalist and a columnist, interviewed the guy we'll be talking about today a couple times, Dak Prescott. So that's just a little bit about me and my background.
Forrest, can you tell us about your NFL athleticism?
Yeah. If I was 6'5", 320 pounds, I'd be an NFL starting guard. Believe it.
All right, guys. Well, this is a little unprecedented. This is a little unprecedented here for the Good If It Goes podcast, but we have some breaking news. Ian Rappaport is reporting, this literally just came across Twitter as we started this, J.J. Watt could miss the rest of the season after re-injuring his back.
What?
Damn.
Yeah, this literally just broke right now.
You know, he hasn't looked right all season, though.
Yeah, and he came in with that, with the back problem, and I guess,
I think they rushed him back.
I think he rushed himself back. He's too busy trying to be Superman and shit. And you can't rush a back injury, man. That's every athlete to tell you. Larry Bird to tell you. You don't rush back from a back injury. That's one injury you have to let heal and take his time. And he wanted to be fucking Superman, come back week one, and now his season is over.
Yeah, knowing him, he was probably flipping tires and stuff.
Yeah, well, there's the jokes on Twitter are starting already. But all right, we're going to start off with a little college football. We have quite the matchup coming this weekend. You got undefeated Louisville traveling to undefeated Clemson. Now, nobody's surprised that Clemson's undefeated. Nobody's surprised that, they're one of the top teams in the country. Louisville, not a lot of people saw this coming, and during our last podcast, guys, we talked about in our preview for Louisville, Florida State, and we were, the three of us, myself, Mike, and Prentice, we were all wrong, because we all picked Florida State to win the game, because we didn't think that Louisville, was ready for that kind of game, and wow, did they prove us wrong. Prentice, I know you got your hands on the ACC. What are you expecting out of this game? Who do you got and why?
I want to take Clemson with the experience. Dabo and Deshaun Watson has been in these games. They can win these games. They've proven it before. But Louisville, man, is – I don't want to say this just because they beat the shit out of my Seminoles, but, I mean, they beat the shit out of my Seminoles. And, I mean, it very handedly embarrassed us. And – Lamar Jackson is not slowing down. That's the problem. He is the best player in the country thus far. You don't win Heismans in September, but right now he's got it locked up. And he has proven himself to be, unstoppable. I'm just looking forward to the matchup. I have, no odds, no bets on this. I don't know who to take. I'm thinking Louisville's going to pull it out. And if they do, I think we can see them locking up a playoff spot, man.
Mike?
Yeah, so first off, I know we were talking last time we were together when the great Ohio State faced up Oklahoma and took them down, and we called that, you know, I said it was an elimination game. I think, Prentice, you used that term. I'm not sure if you said that that's exactly what it was, but, you know, we're getting serious now, guys. Like, I think this game has that postseason feel to it. Who would have thought that Clemson would be an underdog to Louisville week four? Who would have thought that, you know?
Especially at home. That's just what's insane to me. Yeah. Like,
so it's going to be a good game. I'm learning not to bet against Louisville. So I'm going with Louisville. I think it's going to be close. I mean, Lamar Jackson is who we thought he was. Like, definitely. He keeps proving everybody wrong. And he'll continue his Heisman campaign. This is going to be one of his signature wins this year.
Forrest, do you think that experience wins out here and home field? Is this a game that you think that home field and experience is what's going to get it done for Clemson? Or are you buying Louisville going on the road in this environment and winning another huge game?
Well, Louisville, like, I think they're a 1.5-point favorite, which was very shocking to me when I saw that. Right now, they got the number one offense in the country. They're averaging 63 points per game. Clemson's only averaging 33.5. It all points to Louisville winning this game, but I'm going with Clemson to win the game. I think they are a more talented team than Louisville, even though Lamar Jackson has been great. He's literally running away with the Heisman, as in, he's got like 526 yards rushing and 12 touchdowns rushing. That ain't even counting his passing stats. So it's going to be a tough task for Clemson to shut him down. But this is the best defense that Louisville has played up to this point. Right now, Clemson has been very good on defense, even though their offense hasn't been performing up to standard. I think they're giving up like 11 points a game so far. So the defense has been doing their job. I expect the offense to actually pick it up, because we don't expect the Clemson offense to look like it has been looking up to this point all year, right? So that's why I'm rolling.
I agree. You know, you watch Clemson last week, and I know it was Georgia Tech, but they shut Georgia Tech down. I mean, down. Like, I don't think Georgia Tech had over 120 yards total offense. It was disgusting. Now, like I said, I think Clemson eventually will get it turned around, but it can't be down the road. Like, they have to get it going this week versus, you know, Louisville. They're going to lose.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with Forrest here. Obviously nothing would really surprise me in this game, and I'm not going to have any type of bet on it. I'm going to sit back, kick up, and enjoy this one. But I'm going to go with Clemson. I'm going to go with the home field. I'm going to go with the experience in the big game. And I am going to bank on that Clemson's offense is the offense that we've expected to see. It's been a little slow at times this year, but, you know, it's just so hard for me to go against Dabo and Deshaun in this kind of game. I mean, it's going to be fun though. I mean, it's going to be high scoring. Yeah. I mean, whoever wins this game better score 40.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean,
first to 45 wins.
This isn't a 24, 21, 27, 23 type game. That could be your first
half
score.
That's a first half, man.
Right. So, I mean, I'm definitely excited for this. I want to touch on one more college game before we head straight into the NFL. Wisconsin and Michigan. Wisconsin is sort of a surprise this year, right? I mean, they're ranked eighth in the country, obviously with that big win over LSU and the drubbing of Michigan State. Michigan still undefeated. They've looked, you know, really good at times, and they've looked kind of mediocre at times. You know, do you guys give Wisconsin any shot in this game, or do you think, their good fortune kind of comes to an end and Michigan beats them up pretty good? Forrest, we'll start with you.
Well, I don't think Michigan is going to just kill them, but I could see it being Michigan winning by double digits, like 10, 14, something like that, like pulling away with it at the end. I don't respect LSU that much, so I really wasn't impressed that Wisconsin beat them. Jim Harbaugh's got that team looking really good. He's completely turned this program around, and he's done it very quickly. It's really been impressive to watch. He's like the hottest coach out right now in terms of recruiting, getting players to want to go there and that type of thing. And I just like the energy that program's got right now, so I'm going to roll with Michigan to win by double digits.
Prentice?
I really don't know, man. I think Wisconsin has a shot. I think Michigan is one of the most mystery teams especially ranked that high left in college football, because you looked at their schedule, they haven't played anybody. You know, they beat Penn State. Penn State isn't good. They beat Central Florida, who's awful. They beat Hawaii, and they beat Colorado. Neither one of those teams are good. We have seen Wisconsin beat LSU and Michigan State. Now, with that being said, I don't know what to think of LSU. They didn't have a quarterback. Wisconsin had so many Michigan State had so many turnovers. They beat themselves Saturday. Like, that would have been a good game. The mistakes piled on mistakes, and it ruined that game quick. You know, I think Michigan wins. You know, they have the athletes to, you know, I guess out athlete Wisconsin. Michigan defense has been playing pretty good, but like I said, who have they played? I'm still not a believer in their quarterback. So I think that's why the game's going to be a lot closer than I think with the – I can't see a 14 or 10-point win. It's going to be something like 24-20. Jabril Peppers is going to – he's going to make a big play at the end of the game to turn this around, and I think he'll clinch it for him.
Mike, you giving Wisconsin any shot here?
You know, I really don't know what to think because I don't really – I can't really gauge this game. I mean, both teams are 4-0. You had Wisconsin, who beat clearly an overrated LSU game. And like Buck said, I'm not really that impressed with that win. And then they beat Michigan State, I think they're a little overrated this season. And then you have Michigan, who hasn't really beat anybody yet. But when it comes down to it, I think the game is going to, you know, you kind of stole my answer there with Peppers making a big play. I think whoever wins the turnover game will end up winning this game. Michigan will probably win it late. I got it about 28-24, I think. Wisconsin is like 11-point dogs.
It's 10.5, yeah.
It's 10.5 now, yeah. So
yeah, that's too high, man. That's way too high for this game.
I think it's way too high, so definitely you know, still in Shane swag, you know, better take Wisconsin in the points for sure. But I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be about maybe 31-28, something like that, if Wisconsin can't even score that much.
See, I just can't see it being that high scoring. And that's why, like, I struggle to see how Wisconsin scores, you know, scores 20 points in this game.
Well, you know, their quarterback has been pretty tough under pressure. Now, he hasn't thrown a lot of touchdowns. But he been pretty tough, like, in pretty high-pressure situations. I like him a lot, especially what they did at Michigan State. And But I just think that, I don't know, man. I got it like, maybe 31-28, something like that. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good
game. Yeah, I got Michigan winning.
Like, it's going to be a good game. Like I said, Wisconsin, you know, defensively have looked like one of the better defensive units in the country, but you know, like I said, right. LSU's one-dimensional. Michigan State, you know, the quarterback didn't play great. They beat themselves. So it's like this will be the best offense that Wisconsin have played, you know, a well-rounded, balanced offense. We'll see how they come to play.
I'm going to go with Michigan as well. The thing I will give Wisconsin, and I agree with your guys' points that, you know, obviously LSU and Michigan State aren't that good this year. But they're still LSU and they're still Michigan State. I mean, absolutely. At least – you know, those are much better teams than anything Michigan's seen so far. We don't really know how good Michigan is. We don't know what their ceiling is. And to be honest, I don't know if we'll really find that out until they go play Ohio State.
Yeah.
Michigan one of those teams, I said it before the season. I said it, and I'm going to continue to say it now. I think Ohio State remains, and now they're getting a lot more credit since they drubbed Oklahoma. Ohio State, to me, still remains like the most underrated, untalked about team in the country. It's just weird to me. Like, absolutely. Everybody just wants to talk about Harbaugh and Michigan in the Big Ten, and you know they're going to the playoff. Just nobody's talking about Ohio State still. It's nuts to me.
And they had a bye week last month, right. So they just under the radar.
Right, and Mike, I owe you an apology. Last podcast, I was like, I don't know who's there. Who is JT Bear got around him to lead? And man, they beat the shit out of Oklahoma. I mean, I've seen athletes everywhere flying, making plays. I was shocked. Like, I thought the cupboard was bare. And no, the fuck it's not.
They got to take Ohio State for the reload, players, man.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Buck.
I was just saying, you got to check their recruiting class. I mean, they've been doing good, I mean, year after year since Urban Meyer got there. So I knew the cupboard wasn't bare. They just guys you ain't seen before.
Yeah, but I mean, still, you're not winning national championships with a team full of young guys. But Urban has a team full of young guys, and they are going to compete for it.
And don't forget, real quick, what do y'all guys think of Spate? Done it before.
I don't think he's good. Like, I seen Michigan live, second week of the season, and I watched every Michigan game this year. I don't think they can win a playoff game with him at quarterback. No way, no how.
I would tend to agree with that right now. Now, that doesn't mean it's still, you kind of have to look at it as what Harbaugh does with quarterbacks is pretty damn impressive. So if he is to make, you know, a big improvement from between like now and let's say like Thanksgiving, I won't be surprised. But if this is the guy you're getting, no, I'm not taking them to win a playoff game. Like that's going to be Michigan's biggest question all year. What they are going to ultimately get out of the quarterback position.
But the thing is, like you watch him play, and there's nothing that he is, like, really good at. Like, you watched Rudock last year.
I agree.
You watched Rudock last year, and you knew he had the ability. He just had to get his mind right with the game, and that's what Harbaugh got him to that point. But I just don't see that with this kid. I do not see it at all, man. Maybe Harbaugh sees something we don't, but I don't see it.
All right, well, we're going to transition now over to the NFL. It's been 3 weeks in the books now. We've got some 3-0 teams. We got Minnesota's 3-0. Philadelphia's 3-0. Did not think I'd say that. New England's 3-0. I didn't think I'd say that either. And Denver and Baltimore 3-0. Now,
that's the shocking one.
I'm a big... You know, Mike and Prentice definitely know this. I'm a big, you know, you have to avoid overreactions. And people seem to think that, you know, 3 games into the season is such a small sample size that, you know, we need to pump the brakes on some of these things. Forrest, let's go right into your division, the NFC East. You got the Eagles, who many people thought this year could legitimately be the worst team, if not, you know, probably definitely bottom five in the league. They're 3-0. They got this quarterback, Wentz, that looks like an absolute stud. You got the Giants sitting at 2-1. You got the Cowboys 2-1, Washington 1-2. First off, tell us what you think. I know you were a Wentz guy before the season. Tell us what you think about what Wentz has done so far and the overall landscape of the entire NFC East.
Well, when it comes to the NFC East, I picked Washington to win the division coming into the year just because I didn't think Romo would stay healthy and I didn't know Dak was going to be this good. I didn't expect Carson Wentz to play this year. So I was assuming that it was going to be Sam Bradford or Chase Daniels in Philly. And I just don't trust the Giants. There was a lot of new pieces on that defense. So I had to see that and see how it was going to gel. So to me, Washington was the safest pick. And right now they look like the worst team of the four. To start with Wentz and the Eagles, they're 3-0. And as impressive as Wentz has been, to me it's the defense that I'm really been looking at because I think that can keep going. I think at some point Wentz is going to – you're going to see some highs and lows with him because, I mean, he's a rookie quarterback. Same with Dak Prescott. But that defense, especially the front seven, they got some players. And if you I did a team preview for all the teams before the season started, and I talked about the Eagles' front seven being what could potentially keep them afloat this year. Fletcher Cox is one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Vinny Curry, Brandon Graham, Benny Logan, all them guys can play. Then Kendricks and a linebacker, they got – Malcolm Jennings at safety, he's been awesome this year. So, I mean, I've been really impressed with the Eagles' defense. But you look at what the Eagles are doing on offense, it's not like Carson Wentz is surrounded by elite talent on offense. I mean, Jordan Matthews is a good receiver, but he's not a great receiver, I don't think anybody would say yet. Maybe he'll prove that this year. Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, the running back, good but not great. So I've just been really surprised with what they've been able to do. The Giants defense up until last week had been impressing me. It seems like it's been money well spent with the D-line and the corners. They still got issues at linebacker and safety, but when you got a good D-line and you got good corners, you can play good defense, and they've been showing that so far this year. They shut the Saints down, which was impressive, even though they didn't score much. I'm still waiting on the Giants offense. They haven't been that impressive this year.
No, they haven't.
No, they haven't. No, they have not. That's that's one of the surprises. I mean, they, you know, even though they won 2 weeks ago against the Saints, that was a low-scoring, ugly game that they barely pulled out. They barely pulled out that game in Dallas week one, and then last week they had the game where they lost against the Redskins. You know, the Philadelphia thing for me, you know, and I hate to be so skeptical here, but all right, first week they beat up they're at home, they kill Cleveland. Okay, great. Then the next week they go to Chicago and they win, and you know, obviously Chicago is already proven
fucking
to be one of the worst teams in the league.
Don't be nice.
Real quick, I got Cleveland and Chicago last in my power ranking, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean that's,
hey Forrest,
I mean, that's
my dog
much
has
here.
Cleveland and Chicago last in his power rankings too. Just letting you know, so you guys think alike.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty bad. This week was extremely impressive, knocking off Pittsburgh like that. I mean, they averaged like 7 yards per play, I saw in the stats. I mean, that was wow. Now the schedule is going to get a little tougher here, so let's see what happens. They have a bye this week, then they go to Detroit, go to Washington. Then they got Minnesota, at Dallas, at the Giants. So, you know, let's let this thing play out a little more before, you know, starting to crown these teams. I picked the Giants to win the division at the beginning of the year. I'm still going to roll with that, but, you know, nothing really surprised me other than the Redskins, who I picked to be pretty bad this year. I don't see them contending for the division. I think it'll be up to the other three. Prentice, what do you think of the NFC so far? Are you buying Philly? Are you buying Dak Prescott? You know, what are your feelings on this?
I mean, I'm not buying Philly yet. I mean, everybody in NFC East is going to get the Browns and the Bears, so you know, count those as two victories for everybody else in that division as well. Now they did take care of the Steelers. That was shocking. It's not overreaction. They beat the shit out of the Steelers. Dak has looked pretty good. We'll see. You know, he's still a rookie. You know, Wentz is still a rookie. You know, like Forrest said, I expect him to hit that rookie wall where you're going to see those highs and you definitely going to see those lows. They're going to make those mistakes. Both look good, though. You know, I think they both have set NFL records for the most passing attempts without an interception. You know, so these guys are not only, you know, winning games, but they're taking care of football. Like I said, I'm still riding with the Giants. I picked them preseason as well. You know, if you watch the game Sunday, Eli Manning was who cost him the game. You know, he threw a pick in the red zone, and then he threw a pick in the last drive of the game. You know, he essentially blew that game for them, or a game they should have won. They should be sitting 3-0. You know, like Forrest said, that defense is looking good at times. The offense is what's struggling, and that's the surprising part with all the weapons they have over there. Then they just lost Vereen, so that's a hit that they're going to take. But I think what they have on the outside is enough for them to at least get the 10 wins. You know, everybody else in this division, I could care less to talk about.
Well, I want to know what the Cowboys do when Tony Romo is ready. If Dak continues this,
you can't,
this run.
Because, I think Jerry.
Go ahead, Buck.
Oh, go ahead, Buck.
Yeah, what's going to happen is Tony Romo is getting back his spot. It's as simple as that. Look, Dak's been impressive. Dak's been impressive, but he ain't been Tony Romo good. Tony Romo is a baller when he's out there
in the regular season.
But Tony Romo can't be Tony Romo good when he's not on the field.
Well, if he gets hurt again, you put Dak back in.
There is going to be a point where Romo is ready. It's not a season-ending thing. I mean, he is going to be ready to at least start a game.
But here's the thing, man. If your guy has, let's say Romo is ready week 11, week 12, and you got Dak who's got
Romo's
you.
Romo's going to be ready week 8. They're saying.
Okay, week 8. Let's say after week 8.
That's the projection right now.
Let's say week 8.
We got about week 7. Romo's coming week 8.
Okay, let's say after week 7. Dallas is sitting at 5-2. Dak has put them in a prime position to be to second half of the season to make a playoff run. How do you transition back to Romo with this guy looking like the future? Like eventually you got to move on for Romo. And if Dak continues to play the way that he's playing, that time is now.
The question is, how committed is the coach to Romo? This kind of reminds me, and I know you had.
Well, hold on, Mike. Let me quickly interrupt you, then I'll let you go. It does not. Jason Garrett has no say in the matter. It's Jerry Jones's call.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's. I mean, that's Buck. Is that? Would you support that?
That is 100% accurate. Jerry Jones has already came out on the record I think it was yesterday or today, and said that him and Romo was talking after the game. They did a little fist bump, according to him, saying that they got a little time to play with, that they don't got to rush him back. But he's going to get his spot back, according to Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones likes him too much. And it's his thing.
That's a mistake, man. That's a mistake. That's
Mike. Yeah. I was just saying, it kind of reminds me of the, you know, and this, these are different caliber of quarterbacks for sure, but it reminds me of that Bears team when Grossman went down and Oregon came in and was winning games and Lovie Smith went in and announced, you know, Grossman's my quarterback no matter what, you know, and, you know, they made it to the Super Bowl that year.
That's a good,
you know,
that's
it
kind of
reminds me of that. And, you know, Orton, you know, he was a veteran at the time. He wasn't a rookie like Prescott is. But I just feel like, you know, Prescott, he got away in the wings, man. I think he going to be the next guy up. I'm wrong. I was definitely wrong about him. I thought once teams game plan for him that, you know, he wouldn't be as effective as he is. And, you know, he behind a strong offensive line. But, you know, I think the consensus is that Tony Romo going to get his spot back when he's healthy and ready to go.
I mean,
yeah, Prentice, you're on your own on this one, because I think it's a simple question. Who gives you the best chance to win?
Yeah, but
and a healthy and a somewhat healthy Tony Romo in 2016 still gives you a better chance to win than
but,
Dak does.
But
I like Dak a lot.
But a better chance to win what? That's not a Super Bowl contending team.
That's not what
they
think, though.
And then win a...
They can't win three games in the playoff. That defense is horrible. They're not going to win games in a playoff. If Jerry Jones is being realistic.
Prentice, the defense is as good as it was when we went 12-4 and we should have beat the Packers and been in the NFC Championship game where we would have played the Seahawks.
No, it's not. No, it's not, man. No, it's not, man. No, it's not.
Look, Prentice, I see
Marcus
your point
Lawrence
here,
is coming
I mean,
back. Rolando McClain's coming back. Gregory might come back. So I mean, the defense is gonna.
You just named two out of three guys that you can never depend on. Gregory is always suspended, and McClain. Are we not even gonna go there? True or false?
That's true,
Prentice.
Okay.
I agree with you. I don't think this is a team that can go on a run. But that the fact of the matter is this isn't the NBA where it's a seven game series where the best team's more likely going to win than not.
I'm not saying that.
You get into the playoffs in the NFL, you have a shot. And I mean,
that's somewhat true, but it's not, man. We know better than that.
No, Eli has proven it twice. Neither of those teams had any business winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how you can, leave a healthy Romo on the sideline.
I mean, to me, like I said, like Mike just compared it to a quarterback situation. It's almost no different from Bledsoe and Brady. Brady was unnamed, unknown. Nobody knew about Thomas Brady unless you watched Michigan. And Bledsoe was the guy. He had been in Pro Bowl quarterbacks. He was a leader. He was the guy. Brady came in and played, looked good, and they didn't look back. I don't know if this is the same type of scenario. But if Dak is winning games and he is the future. You can't keep relying back on Tony Romo.
Yeah, I mean,
I get what you're saying. He's your Pro Bowl quarterback. What does it look like him holding the clipboard? And if they lose, then it's like, well, why didn't you put Romo back in the game? But that's a decision you have to live with, man. This is your fourth round draft pick who's looking better than first rounders. You got a steal here.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting, and these next couple games for the Cowboys are huge. You know, we'll see the direction that this team is
right.
Going.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good problem to have, but if you come back and you play Romo looks great, he's healthy next year, then what? You know, Dak is ruined. I mean, he's sitting a year and a half on the bench not getting any playing time.
Aaron Rodgers set for what, 3 years?
That's, I mean, but come on, man, you know who he sat behind. Come on now. That's different, though.
Dak, we got Dak on the contract for 4 years. I don't have a problem with him sitting for three.
All right, well, moving on to some of these other 3-0 teams here. For starters, the Baltimore Ravens are 3-0. That team is a complete fraud to me.
Yep.
That's something that's just going to, you know, it's going to catch up with them. Yeah,
that's an ugly 3-0. But look who they beat, though.
Lord.
You know, I think The teams,
they had no business beating Jacksonville the other day.
They should have lost to Cleveland.
Incredible.
Yeah. And
yeah, they were
those
down 20
teams
to
are
2.
Like 1-8 combined this year. So it's all smoke and mirrors. You know, hope they enjoy it for now. But that's over with, and they don't have a chance in their.
So we're all on the same page that Baltimore is a fraud, and then they're not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, the Raiders will get them. They'll get them Sunday. And they're underdogs.
Yeah, they're catching 4 there. I might have to get involved with Oakland. Minnesota 3-0. I said it the day the trade was made. I said it on our first podcast. I said Minnesota loses nothing by going from Teddy Bridgewater to Sam Bradford. I was laughed at. Twitter went nuts. How could you make this trade? Yada yada. Now, albeit Bradford obviously didn't play in the first game, and this past weekend against Carolina, he didn't do a whole lot. He torched the Packers in week 2. Now, the story of this team has been their defense has just been
unreal,
ridiculous. I mean, absolutely. For starters, I went against them in 3 fantasy leagues. Just unfucking believable. They had 35 points. It was insane. Now, what, Mike, we'll start with you here. Minnesota, I mean, does this look like a 12-4 team to you? Like, it's almost like last year's Denver, where their defense might just be that good, where they're winning in games on their own. As long as Bradford doesn't have any, you know, catastrophic mistakes, this team's going to be almost unbeatable. How do you
Their defense can beat anybody. You lose your quarterback, you lose your, like, one of the greatest running backs ever. You lose the left tackle all for the season, and they keep winning.
And then you go to Carolina and just kick the shit out.
Carolina put up 46 the week before against the Bucks, and they only scored 10 against the Vikings. They sacked Cam Newton 8 times.
Oh, that was 49ers.
I think he lost 70 yards out of those 8 sacks. And they had a safety, punt return. I mean, they doing it everywhere, you know, that, you know, they had shortcomings on offense. So they said, fuck it, we're going to do it on the other 2 phases. They can beat anybody on defense right now. If their offense gets it together, and I mean, the receivers are having great games too. So I really see them, you know, them and the Packers, they're going to have some good games this year, I think. And man, it's going to be fun watching Aaron Rodgers against that defense. I don't know what's going to happen, but they have some really good games, you know, going forward, even, you know, playoffs. You know, I think both of those teams have a chance to make the playoffs. You might see them in a divisional game, I mean, a wild card game or something like that. So, yeah, the Vikings defense can beat anybody. It's scary. And, yeah, I mean, I think that they're for real. They're 3-0. And, you know, I think they, when they play again, because they got the Monday night game this week against the Giants. Yeah,
they're at home. Yeah, they're at home.
And I think they'll win
against the Giants.
Yeah, I think they'll win that also. And you know, I think it was Forrest that said about the Giants offense, and you know that they've been disappointing, and I think that's going to continue this week.
Forrest, what are your feelings on the Vikings?
I love the defense. 15 sacks in 3 games. I mean, that speaks for itself. They got a lot of underrated players on that defense. I mean, starting with Harrison Smith, who I think is the best safety in the league.
Fuck yes, he is. Fuck yes.
You know what? That's a good point. There's a lot of guys on that team that just aren't like big names, but they're really, really good NFL players.
Anthony Barr is a stud. Everson Griffin is one of the best defensive ends in the league. Daniel Hunter is a really good defensive end that nobody really knows about. Sharif Floyd is just one of the best run-stopping defensive tackles. I mean, Linval Joseph, I'm sorry. He's one of the best run-stopping defensive tackles in the league.
Yeah, he is.
But my problem with the Vikings is that offensive line. They can't run the ball right now. They're averaging 2.1 yards per carry as a team. I mean, you got Adrian Peterson out there, even before he got hurt, wasn't looking very good because they can't do anything up front. I think that'll come back to bite them, but they're good enough on defense where they're at least going to get to the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, if there is something to nitpick on the Vikings right now, it is that their offensive line is very bad. You know, when I said they remind me of Denver last year a little bit, their offensive players aren't as quite as skilled, but
yeah.
I think that defense, I mean, you know, people are starting to slowly realize it. They were really good last year. Mike Zimmer is, you know, kind of somebody that nobody really, you know, talks about. He's a quiet guy. But he has been a really good coach in this league for many years, coaching with the defensive coordinator for the Bengals. And
coaching Dallas.
You know, and he's really starting to make a name for himself as a head coach there. You know, Prentice, what do you think? I mean, you just pretty much agree across the board here, do you think?
I agree across the board, man. Like, to be honest, boys, we have a serious Super Bowl contending team. You know, in 1 week you hold Green Bay to 14 points, and then the next week you come back and you kick Cam Newton ass and hold them to 10 points. I mean, these are two of the better offenses, you know, we've seen in the last, you know, 5-10 years in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton, what they've done in the past 3 to 4 years. You know, they kicked their ass. They kicked Carolina's ass on Sunday. And they're serious. That offensive line shit, that, you know, running the ball, they'll figure that shit out. Norv Turner, that's another coach, you know, who's, you know, when he's a coordinator, he gets it done. When he's a head coach, maybe not.
Great point. That's a great point.
You know, he'll get them rolling. I think I don't think they have enough to, you know, where they're going to score 21, 28 points a game, but they don't need that. Like I said, they are Denver. They are comparable to Denver. They're going to beat you defensively, and they're going to make enough plays to win games.
I mean, they got one of the best young receivers in the league in Stephon Diggs. I mean, that dude, good Lord. I'm still having nightmares watching him torch Demaryius Randall in week two.
Right, and I thought Treadway was going to be ready to help them out and be his sidekick, man. Like,
he's hurt.
Diggs is doing it by himself out there.
All the reports from Treadwell so far is he's hurt and he's just not ready. I mean, he's just really going to be a non-factor this year, which is, you know, no big deal.
Also, agree with you. When that trade got made, I was one saying that they actually upgraded from Bridgewater with Bradford. A lot of people thought I was crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
I think calling it an upgrade is crazy. You know, saying they don't lose much, that's a problem.
He can pass the ball better.
I think saying that's an upgrade is crazy. That's not an upgrade.
He's a better quarterback.
Sam Bradford has never been surrounded with, you know, obviously this was before Peterson went down, with these kind of offensive weapons. I mean, they do have skilled players on that offense, and Bradford had never really had that.
Look at the offensive pieces he had around him in St. Louis. Anybody would struggle with that.
Oh, it was an embarrassment last year, that crap with Chip Kelly. I mean, I don't know. With the, like you brought it up, Prentice, he's got Norv Turner coaching him and Mike Zimmer. I mean, you know, it's there for him. It's there. And I think this team, you know, is a Super Bowl contender. New England's 3-0. It's just incredible. Like, when we found out about Brady going down for the four games, you know, I looked at the schedule and I said, okay, loss at Arizona. Like, I don't, you know, that was kind of a foregone conclusion. I thought there's no way they're going to win that game. And then I figured, all right, you know, the Houston game, you know, that's going to be close. What was their other win? They beat Miami at home, and now this week they're at Buffalo, I believe. I don't really think anybody can debate. New England, to me, is the best team in the league right now. Now, will they be weeks from now? Who knows? But it's just incredible what Bill Belichick is able to do, not only with Garoppolo, but then last week. Do you guys agree that New England's the best team in the league, Mike?
Yeah, and I hate them, but yeah. I think the only team that...
Because the Broncos fans will sit there and tell you, you know, we won the Super Bowl, right. We're 3-0 again, and Simeon kid's playing pretty well. Why
right,
we
and that's
no
the
respect?
Only team that's, like, close to me Denver, but I just feel like, what can you do to beat them? You know, like, they don't even need a quarterback. I agree perfectly with you, Shane. Like, I thought that, you know, I thought they would be 2-2. I thought they with Garoppolo, I thought they'd be 2-2 and they would be fine. And they're 3-0. And I mean, it's just been stingy defense, very, very stingy defense. The running game, you know, has just been smash mouth. And Belichick I know he's trying to, you know, people are trying to cement him as the greatest of all time. These three games right here show why he's in that conversation.
We both forgot to mention one thing. We said Brady was out. Well, Gronkowski didn't play the first two games. And then last week, he was
Gronk,
a complete decoy.
Gronk,
he didn't catch a pass.
He's the only player on the Patriots I like, because how can you not like Gronk? And Gronk hasn't even been a factor the first three games. Forgot to even mention it. And that's just how good they are, man. So, and I mean, you know, you get all these makeshift guys together like they've always done. It's pretty much been patchwork. You really don't have superstars on their offense, at least. You know, they had Randy Moss the 1 year, you know, and you see what happened when they had him. But, you know, it's coaching. I mean, you call it systems, you call it what you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to call them winners. And I mean, they're for real, obviously. And yeah, Shane, I will go on record and say that they are the best team right now, and they'll be there at the end.
Buck, make a case. If it's not New England, then who?
I'm with New England. Power rankings will be out soon. They'll be number one again. I've seen a few power rankings that got Denver number one, but I'm rolling with New England. I thought they'd be 3-1 in the first four games because I was a Jimmy Garoppolo believer, so I'm not really that surprised about what they've been doing. The defense.
What loss did you have? Where did you have them losing? At
Arizona. And even then, I thought that would be close, so I'm not really that shocked. I mean, they're good all across the board. Great coach. What else is new? New England's at the top of the league.
Prentice?
I'm still rolling with Denver. I think Denver has beat better competition. That defense is looking like same defense we saw last year. They're getting after the passer, Von Miller, and they getting interceptions and shit. And I mean, I guess until they're the throne, and I hate saying that, you know, you're the champion until somebody beats you. I mean, Denver's still looking like the Super Bowl champ. So I'm not ready to crown New England until somebody beat them. Until somebody beat Denver. Simeon's playing a lot better than I thought he would. Like, he's already exceeded my expectations. At least I thought he was going to do this year. You know, Paxton Lynch has no chance of touching the field. That's his team. That defense is great.
How about Emmanuel Sanders? And he's pretty much he's Simeon's favorite option. How y'all feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Crazy underrated.
Yeah, he is. And like, that's the kind of thing that, you know, people, that's one of the things people kind of forgot about, myself included, because I believe we all, minus Forrest, we all picked Denver to really, you know, fall off this year. I didn't even have him as a playoff team. And I'm already regretting that. And, you know, one of the things we shortchanged was how good some of these, you know, guys on offense were to give, you know, that you're handing Simeon. I mean, Simeon came in and everybody just wrote him off. You know, this guy's going to suck. Well, he does have Demaryius Thomas and he does have Emmanuel Sanders, two, in my opinion, above average NFL receivers. And the running game has been better too. CJ Anderson's been the guy and he's finally established himself. And remember last year they had that really crowded backfield with him and Hillman.
Monte Ball
start the year. And now Anderson's the guy. I mean, they're looking good again and, you know, they're going to be there.
Well,
they're going to be
right
there.
And what's so crazy is, you know, beginning of the year, you knew they were going to run the ball, play action, pass when they need to. But then you had Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders come out and talk shit and complain they weren't getting enough touches. And then both of a sudden they both go over 100 yards. So they can beat you either way. They're going to run the ball. They can throw the ball. They're going to beat you defensively. Like, so that's why I think they're still the best team in football.
All right, my next question I want to ask you guys. We talked about the 3-0 teams. We hit on the NFC East. I'm looking across the league at a bunch of these 1-2 teams. You know, you got Cincinnati, Miami, the Colts, Carolina,
Arizona.
You know, the list goes on. Arizona, correct. Who from those teams do you kind of look at and still say, I'm not worried about this team? you know, this team is still going to be there in the end. This is still a playoff team, whether it's division winner or wild card team. Which one of those 1 and 2 teams are you guys still high on? Forrest, I'll go with you.
This is easy.
Arizona. I'm rolling with Arizona.
Hell no.
I know some people are down on them right now. They just got too much talent. I mean, I think Carson Palmer's going to turn it around just off the sure fact that he's got Bruce Arians coaching him, and he's got a lot of receivers to throw to. Larry Fitzgerald has looked good this year. That defense is going to start playing better. I'm still a believer in Arizona.
All right, well, Forrest, when we had our opening podcast, we previewed some teams, my biggest question with Arizona was something you just mentioned. It was, you know, we saw Carson Palmer, who in the playoffs last year, he was dreadful. He was terrible against Green Bay. He was terrible against Carolina. You know, he's 36, 37 years old now. You know, is this just a guy that, you know, just doesn't have it anymore? I questioned, does he have another 16-game season in him to perform like he did last year to have this team there? That's my question with Arizona. They were awful this past weekend at Buffalo. Now, That Buffalo game, you know, that was kind of Buffalo was such a desperate team that you knew you were going to get a max effort out of them. They had the 10 days off. You know, I don't think that's really a bad loss for Arizona, but I'm going to stick with my original question. Does Carson Palmer, what does he have for a 16-game season? Because I'm not confident in him, to be honest.
He's the same age range as Breeze and Brady, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, what's Drew Brees at this point? Other than a guy that's going to put up some stats at home.
A bum.
You know, Brady's one of a kind.
Brees is still a really good quarterback. The team, the defense.
He's still a pretty good quarterback. I mean.
He's a fucking bum.
Oh, shit.
Wait, did somebody call Brees a bum?
He's a fucking bum. Brees is a fucking bum.
Brees is a bum. That's a Hall of Fame quarterback. First ballot.
A bum. He's wasting that team's time. He's wasting Sean Payton's time. Fuck him. He's a bum.
They need to trade him, though.
Mike?
Well.
They need to cut his ass.
I heard Prentice. Prentice,
Mike,
I heard
we'll
you say
you.
This is easy, so I'm going to go away from what I think your answer is going to be. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. This is a 12-14. This is a 12-14 last year. Their passing game, Andy Dalton is throwing for hella yards, but only 2 touchdown passes. And you had some yak with AJ Green on one of those. I mean, they're doing all right. I think they really miss Tyler Eifert. I think they really miss him. And who's gonna be their number 2 receiver? Is it gonna be Brandon LaFell? Is it gonna be Tyler Boyd?
You know, like, we said that before the year.
Tyler Eifert's gonna be there.
Who is it gonna be there? Right, and he's not there. So who is it gonna be? Is Brandon LaFell gonna step up? Is Tyler Boyd gonna step up? Somebody else? Is Giovanni Bernard gonna have to do more out of the backfield? I mean, Jeremy Hill. You know, who's gonna do it? Who's gonna be that next guy? And turnovers been killing them. You know, they had that one turnover at the end of the game this past week. They got Miami coming. You know, Miami got that's Thursday night game. I think they'll beat them. And you know, we mentioned already on this podcast that Baltimore ain't real. So you got Baltimore and you got Pittsburgh ahead of you. And week one podcast, you know, I say it's possible that, you know, depending on what Baltimore does, that, you know, 3 teams could come out this division and go to the playoffs. I'm not as confident in Baltimore. But I still think that Cincinnati is going to be a playoff team. I think we're going to get, we know how that movie ends already when they get to the playoffs, but I still think that they're going to do well. The team, they're going to win 10 games, I think. They got New England coming up in a couple weeks, so they'll probably take an L there. But they're going to fight in their division. I think they're really going to fight, and I think they're going to win 10 games.
Prentice, I think I know where you're going here.
Yeah, it's Carolina. I mean, they're playing in the same division as the Saints, the Bucks, and the Falcons. I mean, that says enough. I mean, they've had a tough schedule. They played Denver, they played Minnesota, and can't think who they beat.
San Francisco, your team,
San Francisco.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Yeah,
see why you forget that one.
Right. You know, it's they'll get some games. They'll get some bounce back. They'll probably go undefeated in that division. You know, it's I thought that was the obvious answer. I was very shocked with you saying for Arizona, because Carson Palmer, like Shane had mentioned in our very first podcast, is you watch Carson Palmer in the playoff and you're starting to wonder, has that age cut off to him? Is that a dead arm? And it, I don't know if you watched him last week, but that arm looks dead.
Oh, my God, he looked awful, man.
And he is killing them. He is killing them, man. They eventually might have to make a change. I'm worried if they're going to even win 8 games. They're running David Johnson to the ground, and Carson Palmer isn't playing good. So, I don't know, man. I don't see Arizona.
Y'all buying Atlanta?
No.
Yeah, I'm selling Arizona,
they don't have
too.
I'm selling
Atlanta. I just can't buy Atlanta. That defense is still bad. I'm not a Matt Ryan guy. I'm just not. The funny thing is, you look at Atlanta's offensive roster. There's definitely talent there. I mean,
them running backs,
Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman is a really good running back combination.
Yeah, and Mohamed Sanu got a chance last night by himself to kind of show the world what he's capable of doing. And he played pretty good ball last night without.
And Jacob Tammy's put up good numbers there too. That offense is real. But what's Matt Ryan? I mean, I think, you know, in today's NFL, I'm a big believer in not needing, but it's so good to have just a straight 1-2 punch at running back, just like Atlanta does, and Freeman and Coleman. That might be as good as it gets in the league besides D'Angelo and Le'Veon Bell. I mean, those guys are really good. But I don't know. I need to see more. They won at Oakland 2 weeks ago, which was pretty impressive. But
they're still not there defensively. It's just not enough their own defense.
I'm gonna agree with Mike. Back to the original question. I'm gonna agree with Mike with Cincinnati. I just think, you know, they're also a product of the schedule so far. That's why they're 1-2. They lost at Pittsburgh. They lost at home against Denver.
They should have lost to the Jets.
Yeah, I mean that's true. They could be 0-3. They could be 0-3, but I'm not gonna go as far as and say I'm selling Carolina yet, but I don't know, man. That Super Bowl hangover, they just don't look the same. They don't look the same to me so far.
I think Carolina will be fine. Hurt.
You think they'll be fine? I mean,
just because of the division,
probably because of the division. That's probably what would make it hard to sell on them. But
they're going home in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, I don't. Kelvin Benjamin, 0 catches on Sunday. How?
That was a complete no show.
Well, Captain Merlin said they pretty much decided they were gonna just let everybody else one on one and just worry about him. So.
All right, looking at some of this week's matchups.
It's a pretty garbage slate of games this week.
Yeah, well, we got the bye week start, and then we got the London game with Jacksonville and Indy. I don't know about you guys. Every Indy game is a must-see TV for me. It really is. Like, they're terrible, but they find ways to win. They are going to win that division. I am sticking with it. They are going to win that division at 8-8 or 9-7.
How?
Yes. Yeah. Because I refuse to believe in Houston, especially with this Watt news. If he's down, oh, it's a wrap. Oh, for sure. And I was never a believer in Tennessee or Jacksonville. I just think Indy is going to straight up win this division. Yeah,
Indy has
football.
Just one of the worst defenses. They have one of the worst defenses.
That's what scared me. They are awful.
But they have, scoring-wise, they have one of the better offenses. So it's like, you know, what is it going to be? You know, and y'all know I'm the biggest Andrew Luck fan. The offensive line still is terrible. But they play in the AFC South. I can go with you on that, Shane. And the Texans just lost their best player, apparently. And I don't believe in the Titans. The Jaguars, as great as their defense is to me, they're the Jaguars. So I can still see the Colts taking it. And yeah, like you said, every game the Colts have been in has been fun to watch. You know, we get them here regionally, and I watched that Chargers game, and. It was just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you're gonna get with the Colts, but I do think that they'll win it. And hey, they can win it 8-8. I can see them going 8-8 and taking that division.
All right. Well, I'm looking at some of these matchups this week, and Prentice, you said it sounded garbage, and I kind of agreed with you at first, but there's actually a few intriguing ones. I mean, you got Carolina at Atlanta. You know, that's not intriguing to you. Carolina 1-2. That's a must-win game for Carolina.
I mean, I saw Oakland and Baltimore, and
how
the
about
Chiefs
LA
and Steelers.
LA at Arizona.
Have you seen LA play this year?
And
LA 2-1.
I mean, they.
Yeah, but I mean, holy fuck! I have no idea how they're 2-1.
I think that's a get right game for Arizona.
Home.
You just got your clock cleaned on the road. You come home. LA goes from traveling east to traveling back west. I think that's a 17-point Arizona win. Something that we saw from them last year when they were dogging people at home. I think that's a blowout. Now I want to look at two games here. I want to get your guys' opinions. Two trap type games for me. And I usually hate the word trap, but you know, these are games on paper that you think these two teams will for sure win, but I don't know. I'm going to look at Denver at Tampa and Dallas at San Francisco. Both 3-point spreads. Do any of you guys give either of those home teams a chance to win, whether it's Tampa or San Francisco? Because I think that both legitimately can win.
I give San Francisco a better shot than the other game, because San Francisco can still run the ball. And defensively, they haven't been bad. Hasn't been defense that's been costing them. Offense, it's been Blaine Gabbert. He fucking suck. And like I said, I'm not a believer of Dallas's defense. And if there's a game where we can play defense against a rookie quarterback and just run the ball, this is that one. I still think we lose. I think we lose every fucking week. But if there's a chance it's still a game, it's this one.
So you don't my other upset possibility, you don't give Tampa any shot against Denver?
Fuck no. Fuck no. Jameis is getting smacked every fucking week because they can't fucking block. That coach is a fucking dumbass. He cost them last week versus the Rams. Fuck him.
The Tampa defense sucks.
Yeah, they are awful. God fucking awful, man. Keenum was just finding dudes open all week. I mean, all game Sunday. I mean, what a disgrace. They fucking suck, man.
Forrest?
Well, first of all, Prentice, the Cowboys defense is giving up the 10 fewest points in the league right now. Just to
man, they have, man, they have, man, stop.
See, I Buck, real quick, like, how important are those stats really?
They're not. I'm just
games?
Messing with
like,
them, really, because I know our defense is what it is. But back to your question, I think Tampa would have the better chance because we've seen them get hot on offense, and if they do that, then they could just put up a bunch of points. And I'll score. So, I mean, they got Mike Evans still. Winston got the talent. He just got to get more consistent. Charles
Kelly
has a really good back.
He don't have the talent.
Who?
He don't have the talent.
Jameis?
Jameis doesn't. He got Mike Evans, and that's it. That's it. It's him and Mike Evans. Everybody else is garbage.
Charles Sims garbage?
He decent.
Is Doug Martin's out again this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sims is a respectable number two.
He is. Everybody else is fucking garbage. Sorry, Forrest. Continue, sir.
But make your case why you're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
You're going to San Francisco, a place you're a team you're better than. But this is the NFL. Like, you're not worried at all of one of these road games to get tripped up in.
It's the Cowboys, so you always got to be on guard because they prone to do some really stupid stuff at any time, like run out of bounds. I mean, not run out of bounds at the end of the game, so you just never know. But I look at it at Blaine Gabbert. Do I need to say anything else?
Yep, that's true. That's true. That's fucking true.
If they announced that Kaepernick was going to start, I'd be a little worried.
How about Seattle at the Jets? That's an intriguing one too. I mean, it's a pretty damn big game for
is Russell
the Jets
Wilson
in
playing?
Seattle. Russell, he is going to play.
Okay.
Like it's, you know, he's messed up, he's banged up, but they got a bye the next week.
Yeah, if he gonna make it through that game.
I agree. I mean, I'm not on the Seattle bandwagon. I just think that offensive line is messed up. I think the defense isn't quite what it was. They don't have much. Christian Michael is the guy now that Rawls is out. He looked pretty good last week. I don't know. I mean, this is a must-win game for the Jets, you would say, at 1-2. That's what's kind of intriguing about this is this week, because some of these teams that are 1-2 that we expect to be good, you can't be falling to 1-3. Carolina cannot go to Atlanta and go to 1-3.
Hey, Arizona can't. Go ahead.
No, whoever was.
I was just like, real quick with the Jets, what happened with Fitzpatrick last week?
Jesus Christ. He
came back to reality. That's what happened. He's awful. He's awful, and he played awful.
Watch that game, but geez, 6 interceptions.
And he's got talent around him, too. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker. I mean, now he's got Forte. Respectable offensive line. I mean,
if you turn the ball over 8 times, you're going to lose, though.
Yeah. Mike? You got any feels on any of these games? Any upsets you like? Any best bets?
Well, I'm guessing that the game of the week is probably going to be Chiefs Steelers.
That's a Sunday night game. I haven't even mentioned that yet. Yeah, go for it. So, that's a Sunday night
that
game.
That game's you got Steelers coming back from getting their ass kicked by the Eagles, who I think we all are in agreement that the Eagles are for real now. It's going to see, you're going to have Alex Smith coming out. They got Spencer Ware doing his thing. He putting in work over there. They're not scoring a lot, though. And then on the other end, you got Pittsburgh, who before last week, they're scoring all over the place. So Le'Veon is back. D'Angelo Williams held it down while he was out, though.
That's a nasty 1-2 punch they got now with Le'Veon and D'Angelo Williams.
Yep. I think Kansas City's defense is better than Philly's. So we'll see what Pittsburgh can do against that team back at home. I will take Pittsburgh to win, but I think it's going to be a very competitive game. We can really see it's going to be a lot of talent showcase with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon coming back, and then Spencer Ware doing his thing over there. And Kelsey's been okay, too, this year.
He's a damn good tight end.
He's been doing pretty good this year. So we'll see. I mean, you know what you get from the Chiefs. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play good D. Alex Smith's going to manage the game. You know what you're getting with them. They limit turnovers.
This feels like a get-right game for Pittsburgh, doesn't it? After getting completely embarrassed in Philly last week, you come home, Sunday night football. This feels like a get-right game for Pitt. You got Le'Veon Bell back. I'm kind of sniffing a 14-point.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think if Kansas City turns the ball over, Alex Smith makes some bad throws or something, I can see that. Antonio Brown going to do him. So, you just hope to contain him, try to keep him out the end zone. But yeah, I can agree with that.
Anything else you guys want to? Any other NFL points you guys want to touch on for this week? Any other game? Any other opinions?
I want to talk about Les Miles.
Well, that's not NFL, but one quick take from NFL: the Bears fucking suck. And is Deshaun Watson the guy? Like, is that who I need to look forward to? Because they fucking suck. They had, I think, 8 starters out with injuries, and that's cool and all. Like, you can make excuses for that shit, but they fucking suck. Like, Alshon Jeffrey, he's a very bright spot, and he's going to have a very good career somewhere else when his contract is up and he gets the fuck out of Chicago. And I'm not going to be mad at him.
Yeah, they won't franchise him again.
I'm not going to be mad at that.
He's a goner after this year.
He's a very, very fucking bright spot.
Hey, when is McPhee getting back?
But He is that team is fucking terrible. I can't remember. And we've had some terrible years. And, you know, you got these dumbasses saying fire John Fox. It has shit to do with John Fox. John Fox is a great coach. Everybody knows that. It has nothing to do with John Fox. You know, Shane, I know you fire coaches quickly. And I can bet you haven't even fired John Fox yet because it's not on him. It's not on him. This fucking team.
I mean, I can't fire the guy, but I mean, I do question some of his decisions. Like he's one of those 4th and 2 from the 40 punt guys. Like why? You know,
he's conservative.
Very conservative. Too conservative. I agree with that.
Me, like, I mean, he's not a good NFL coach, I guess you could say, but I don't know. I mean, the drop off going from Adam Gase to Dow Loggins,
that was very fucking hurtful, man.
And it's shown already.
Jesus Christ.
The Bears are just they're a dumpster fire. Now, one of our writers, Kevin Schrader, predicted them to go. What was it, 11-5 on the Good If It Goes preview?
He did.
10-6. He had them ahead of Seattle, and he went and he got ripped for it on Twitter.
Daily,
like he does on a
minutely basis,
daily life, and his justification was the schedule is easy. Well, yeah, you could have an easy schedule, but your team can still suck. I mean,
exactly.
He didn't seem to understand that.
That's what I was thinking when he said that. Gosh. Like, what difference does it make if your schedule is easy if you're still worse than everybody?
I don't know. He's a delusional idiot. All right, well, now, since that's pretty much it for the NFL, I want to touch on two more things in college football. Number one, end of an era. Les Miles fired. We're gonna everybody. I want everybody to touch on this, but I want Prentice to start because already you're hearing, in the blogosphere, is Jimbo Fisher the next coach at LSU? What's your feel, Prentice, on Miles getting fired? Because I know how I feel. I'm ready to go off. And Jimbo possibly going there. What do you got there?
Well, it was a horrible decision. You know, if you had the opportunity
to what, fire Miles?
To fire him, yes. In that league, why would you fire him in the middle of the season when you had every opportunity to fire him last year?
Okay, see I can't argue with the fact that he deserved to be fired in the first place. Disagreeing with that.
No. He deserved to be fired. But what I'm saying is, okay. In a competitive world in college football where recruits mean the world, why would you fire a coach in the middle of the season? Everybody they have verbal commitments to or solid commitments now are up in the air. Nick Saban, Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer, they are calling these LSU boys now. They are up for grabs. You don't make that type of decision in the middle of your season. And you know, like I said the other day, it's you only make this decision right now if you got somebody in mind that you know is going to take this job, and it's either Jimbo or Tom Herman. That's it. I don't think they want anybody else. Those are the two names they want. They wanted Jimbo last year. They thought they had him. Florida State gave him a salary increase. It never happened. And then they rehired.
Prentice, I've been hearing Lane Kiffin too. What do you think about that?
I don't think he's ready for that type of job. Like,
does he even want it?
I think he does. He wants. He's competitive. You know, he wants to go against Nick Saban, but I don't think he's, you know, we've seen him at Tennessee. We've seen him at some of those jobs. He's going to have to start somewhere small again to prove that he's ready to be a head coach again. I don't think that job's too big for him.
All right, Forrest, what's your thing on this?
He absolutely deserved to be fired. And a lot of people will say, you know, he's a 114-34 and he's got a national title and all that. But, I mean, if you look at the last 3 years, they're like 15-11 in SEC play, 0-3 versus Alabama, 1-2 versus Ole Miss, 1-2 versus Arkansas. They just haven't been getting it done of late. And offensively this year, they've been just horrible to watch. I can't watch those two games.
Forrest, to interrupt, they're not getting it done to whose standards though? That's the problem. Nick Saban has this. He's ruined
SEC,
that league.
No. Forget the Nick Saban standards. LSU standards, like. Why are they sucking fiddle to Ole Miss right now?
So Ole Miss been putting out a good product, though,
yeah,
man.
No, this is true. LSU has regressed. And my thing is this. Like, he almost reminds me of Tom Coughlin. And anybody that's followed me on Twitter knows how much I despise Tom Coughlin. It's like the game. Like, these guys were at one point good coaches that knew what they were doing. and the game just completely passed him by, and he does not make any adjustments. Les Miles, you know, he just does not, he is not a top head coach for a program like LSU in 2016. The game has passed him by. He hasn't adjusted to nothing. His offense is putrid. He has not been able to recruit a quarterback in years.
I think that's the problem. I don't think it's the offense. I think the problem is they haven't had a guy at that quarterback
position.
And
he brings in a retread like Cam Cameron, thinking that was going to be some sort of great, great move. I mean, he deserved to be fired.
But look, guys,
it's that simple.
If you don't have a quarterback, then you just go to the read option.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what Bama's doing.
Yeah, like, okay, and what does Nick Saban do? Nick Saban adjusts to the times. He adjusts to what he has. Les Miles completely failed to do that, and it got him fired. It's that simple. I mean, I the timing of it was weird. I agree with that. And the whole recruits thing, that's a great point by you. But my guess is that there's some sort of under the table deal that Jimbo Fisher is your guy. I obviously have no inside knowledge of that, or I haven't even really seen anything more than speculation, but I think that Jimbo's the guy. And if that's the case, that's an upgrade.
I don't see why you would leave the ACC to go coach against Nick Saban.
A challenge, I guess. I don't disagree with you, but you know how these college coaches are egomaniacs. They think that they can do it anywhere.
And I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Why would you want to go play and coach in a division where he's in? Like, it makes no sense, but he's won a national championship there. He's been there before.
Because if you're the guy that beats, like I said, it's all about ego, and he's going to get paid. If you're the guy that go and beats Nick Saban, knocks him off, then you're a hero. I mean,
I agree, but look, you can beat Nick Saban in the playoffs.
Yeah, you can beat Nick Saban in the playoffs, exactly.
Easier road.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like, this is like the mind of some coaches. Like, they, you know, was Jim Harbaugh intimidated by Urban Meyer? No. And I mean, Harbaugh could have stayed at Stanford.
I bet you Harbaugh won't take that LSU job.
Fuck no, he won't.
No, I mean, and there's really no reason for him to leave Michigan. I mean,
like I said, taking any job in that league is a death sentence. It's 4 years and you're gone. That's it. I mean, when you fire Mark Ritt, who's won 10 games in so many years, and he couldn't win the big one, but it's like, you fire two tenured coaches in that league who have won multiple games. Like I said, Nick Saban has ruined that league. He's ruined college football, but he's definitely ruined that league over there.
Mike, you got anything to add to this?
He should have been gone last year, and they kept him around, and he saved his job. And yeah, he should have been gone last year. They come around and he saved his job. And I remember I said that after that Wisconsin game, I said he's gonna be in trouble if they lose again early, and they did. And they just didn't look good. And I think it's time, man. It's time. Like you said, you know, he didn't get with the times. You know, it's 2016 now. It was time. But Forrest, I think it was you, Forrest, that said, or it was either Forrest or Prentice that said, you know, you need that next guy up. You know, you need to know who it is at the same time. So, yeah, it was good that they got rid of him. And, you know, that's a, you know, power program. You know, that's top of the line. You know, that's a top program. So it'll be interesting to see who actually takes that job. I don't know if it's going to be Jimbo, though, but we'll see. So, Prentice, you probably know have a little bit better of an opinion on that than I would, but yeah.
I thought it was hilarious when the athletic director said the reason they made this decision because they didn't want him to get hot again and
right.
win his job over again.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I forgot who the college guy that leaked that story was, but that quote. But when I read that too, I thought I laughed. Then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? That actually makes sense. What if he rattles off a couple wins here, and then, you know, you want to fire him at the end of the year, then the program's going to say, well, now how can you fire him? They're at their low point now. Nobody's really disagreeing with this move. This was the, you know, I get it. They should have done it before the year, but if you're going to do it again, now I guess.
Could you imagine him going in and they beat Ole Miss and Bama back-to-back, and here he is again next year? I doubt that would have happened, but yeah.
Hot seat all over.
I do want to touch on one more coach before we wrap this up for the week. I don't know about you guys, but Forrest, you're probably indifferent because you live in the South. I've been a Notre Dame hater my entire life, and I've enjoyed watching them getting destroyed these last couple of weeks. But Brian Kelly is a piece of shit.
Yes.
I mean, are you kidding me? This week's the quotes after this week, like this is stuff that he said. I'm not taking any words out of his mouth. This is what was said. He legitimately said he not only did he blame the players, but then he completely just blamed the defensive coordinator, fired him, and he took no blame whatsoever. Like, are you kidding me? Like, is this guy serious? Like, when I watched that first game against Texas, I remember watching that entire game and thinking, man, Notre Dame's got some dogs on this team. Win or lose, because it was a great game. I'm like, man, there's some athletes all over the field here. And Kizer, you know, we knew how good he was. And now you lose to Texas. You get stomped at home by a real mediocre Michigan State team. And then you lose at home to Duke. To Duke football.
Not the basketball team.
Not the basketball team, the football. Like, are you guys seeing the same thing I am about Kelly? I mean, this guy is just a piece of shit. Well, Prentice, go.
You know how I feel. You know I live in Notre Dame country. I fucking hate these bitches. And Kelly, I can't wait till they start calling for his job and they fire his ass. You know, the first thing you do, you lose and you throw your players under the bus. Hey, Kizer played his ass off. He's trying his best with the limited players that he has. And then you're talking about everybody played bad. He played bad. Everybody's under evaluation. Nobody's starting positions is secure. Then you throw your...
Not one mention of himself.
Not one mention of himself that, maybe we got outcoached by Duke. Not one fucking time. And then you fire your defensive coordinator. It's like he's blaming everybody but him. Fuck that guy, man.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I think the problem for Notre Dame fans, because there's a large contingent of Notre Dame fans that want Kelly fired. Well, the problem is they just finished paying off Charlie Weiss. And I think Kelly just re-upped like a year and a half ago. He's got like 4 or 5 years left on his deal. You think they're going to whack him and just pay him to go away like they did with Weiss?
They got the money to do it.
I don't know.
They got the money to do it.
But Forrest, I mean, I know this isn't really your territory, but I mean, it's a national story right now. I mean, what do you think about it?
I typically try to keep up with Notre Dame just because, you know, they're a powerhouse. Well, not a power, but I mean, they're a well-known program. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, they're like your Cowboys. They're not good they're not very good every year, but they're still a story.
Yeah, they got their own network, so but not yet. That's what I'm gonna say on Kelly. I don't think he should be fired yet, but they got some games coming up. They gotta play Miami and they gotta play Stanford. I mean, it's gonna be tough.
Those are two games they're probably gonna lose.
I think so too. Now if they lose both of those games, then I think that's when you really gonna see the real outcry for him to lose his job. And I think so. At the end of the year, I think that's when we're really going to be looking at whether or not he's going to be fired or not.
I mean, I'm interested to see if any of these kids quit on him because, I mean, I have to admit, and if I was a player and I heard those quotes and how he just completely threw everybody under the bus except himself, I don't want to play for that guy.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you don't want to play for him, but you also plan for NFL dollars.
Of course, but, I mean... This is not unprecedented. Have you seen stuff like this happen where teams quit on coaches?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Mike?
I mean, they went 10-3 last year. And, I mean, they lost to Ohio State. They lost to Clemson. They lost, like, the good teams, like, top-tier teams last year. I mean, he skates. He skates by. He's had one great season where it ended terribly for them. They got their ass blew out in the national championship. Other than that, I mean, he's not very good at his job, I don't think. And he deserves all the criticism he's getting. And what he did to that defensive coordinator, it's like he praised the guy and then the next day he fires him. And I mean, just didn't take any blame for it. Not really a good coach to me. And they get rid of him, it'll probably be better for that program. Because like you said, who wants to play for a guy like that?
And you know, it's funny. I thought of something earlier today when I was thinking about, you know, bringing this up on the podcast. I remember last year, remember when Ohio State lost to Michigan State and Ezekiel Elliott came out in the postgame and he basically, you know, called out Urban Meyer and some of the other guys, and you know, they were disappointed in his coaching advantage, and people wondered, okay, well, you know, are these guys quitting on Urban Meyer? You know, what's going on here? And what did they do? They came out next week and they trucked Michigan at Michigan. That shows you the kind of respect they have for their coach. I don't think Brian Kelly's got that kind of respect from these players.
Nope.
And I think it's going to show. I think this season is going to derail, and I'm here for it. I am here. I have a front row seat to watch that piece of shit get embarrassed, because they're playing Miami soon, and I like what Mark Richt's doing down there already. So, I'm really hoping that Notre Dame takes a hard fall here. I hate the program. I hate the school. I hate the coach.
Real quick, is Miami for real, guys?
We will find out.
We'll find out very soon.
I believe they're at Georgia Tech this week, correct?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Georgia Tech's had 10 days off, or 10 days off since the loss to Clemson. Let's see how Rick prepares for the triple option, his first time
going against them. I don't know, man. Miami ain't played no damn body yet. And, like, to me, like, them, it's a couple teams that are just products of better teams losing, and they get to move up in the rankings. Like, Michigan hasn't beat anybody in their eighth now. You know, you got a bunch of teams fall out of the top 10. You know, Miami, they're 14th now. But they played Florida A&M, Florida Atlantic, and Appalachian State. So,
yeah, okay. Well, now, are they for real as far as making the playoffs? No. Program, you know, back to
elite? They've turned it around
direction?
For sure. Yeah. Now that I agree with.
And I think that's fine. Okay. That's all you need. Okay, now, that's all you wanted. Yeah, and Miami fans should really want this year. See that
anything
Rick's got this.
Yeah, anything was better than that jackass coaching staff they had last year. Jesus Christ.
Right. And so if I was a Miami fan, I would feel, you know, pretty damn good regardless of the wins, losses at the end of the year, that, you know, Rick's going to have this thing moving in the right direction.
Yeah, he'll get them back. He'll get them back here soon. He'll get them back.
We're going to be Florida State this year. Calling it now.
We're going to
Wait a minute. You want a good if it goes bet?
What was the bet? I didn't even
He said Miami was going to beat Florida State. Do you want a good if it goes bet?
Where's the game?
It's at Miami.
I think it's
in Miami, I think.
What you want to do?
What's the bet going to be?
Hey, we can do large pizzas, man. We can I'll call the best pizza place in Mississippi if that's how it's going to happen.
When is that game?
Next week, I think.
So put your money where your fucking mouth is.
You might have to sign me up for Miami. We might be talking there.
Do we have a tail of two pizza?
I don't know.
We'll address this next week.
We'll address this next week.
Let's go. A tail of two pieces part two. I'm ready for it.
Part two, goddammit.
All right, ladies and gents. It's been real as always. We'll catch you guys next week.
Knowles.
Hey, LSU, I'm available. See me. I'm sending my resume.
JT for Heisman.